This podcast was recorded Thursday, May 14th at 10:36 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like some Tea Party entrepreneur will make a face mask with the "Don't Tread on Me" flag, and everyone will now wear a face mask.
There has to be a Confederate flag mask out there, right?
I hope not.
There has to be. Let's talk
sure
politics.
There is.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those shrewd politicians, also known as Snollygosters. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up later in the podcast, an old friend with a new name who needed a government-backed bailout find some spending money during a pandemic.
Funny how that works sometimes. But first, by the end of the day Friday, about 90% of Ohio's economy will be open for business, at least in some fashion. Stores, shopping malls reopened for business on Tuesday. Hair, nail, tattoo salons open on Friday. Also on Friday, restaurant and bar patios can start hosting customers.
Yeah, so we're slowly getting back to some kind of normal. This is all comes, of course, as the state still does not meet federal guidelines for easing these stay-at-home orders. Ohio has not seen a two-week decrease in cases. In fact, cases are still going up. Ohio has not set the minimum testing recommendations. Only 2% of Ohioans have been tested for COVID-19.
On Tuesday, Dr. Anthony Fauci of the White House Coronavirus Task Force appeared before a Senate committee. And he had a warning for states like Ohio that open before meeting these minimum standards.
There is a real risk that you will trigger an outbreak that you may not be able to control, which in fact, paradoxically, will set you back, not only leading to some suffering and death that could be avoided, but could even set you back on the road to trying to get economic recovery.
Governor DeWine responded basically saying, yep, duly noted.
He is correct. It is a risk. It is also a risk whatever we do. It is a risk if we don't do anything. It's a risk if we don't try to open back up. The other risk is that there are real medical, there are real health risk as well as economic risk when we have an economy that is as far down as this economy is.
Mike? Your namesake, Mike DeWine, he still stuck in a really unwinnable political fight here. We've talked about how in the House, Democrats are united against this idea of proceeding with precaution. More and more House Republicans not wearing masks in the chamber, and they want to open the economy. And DeWine leaning slightly towards the Republican, I would say.
Yeah, he's been trying to walk the line since this whole thing started. I think he started out pretty aggressive when he shut down bars and restaurants early, shut down the schools early, and shut down the state early, a lot earlier than other states did. And then he has been trying since then to open it back up. Now, Dr. Fauci is pretty clear. He's basically saying that these states are opening too early. We don't have the testing yet. The cases aren't going down. You're opening too early. But Governor DeWine says if we don't reopen, we could do permanent damage to the economy and other health issues could crop up. People aren't going to the doctor to treat stuff that could spot cancer early, or there could be mental illness which could lead to suicide and things like that. So there are other health consequences besides COVID-19, and the governor feels that it's important to open the state up.
And when we say reopening, that's the word we're using. A lot of businesses still not reopening. If you went to malls around Central Ohio on Tuesday, a lot of them were really sparsely populated. If you went to a part of Columbus called the Short North, it's a very popular retail-oriented area. There were areas where shopkeepers and joggers outnumbered customers. Some stores not opening at all. Again, here, not to make it too Central Ohio specific, but a part of Upper Arlington, the shops on Lane Avenue, there was one retail shop there that was open. A lot of shop owners sitting this out for now, certainly a lot more customers sitting it out. They don't want to, it makes sense for a shop owner to open. If they're a little more hesitant, they might still open their doors because they need the money, right? They need to pay the light bill. They need to pay their lease, whatever. Customers don't have to go shopping. They can just, whatever they want to buy, they can buy on Amazon for the most part. You don't need to go to a fashion boutique.
Yeah, and I think what you'll see, I think stores have to to prepare themselves to reopen. So some of these stores may not have been ready to meet the safety qualifications and requirements that are out there. Some national chains, I think JCPenney, they're not reopening yet, so some national chains aren't reopening. And I think people aren't going to go to the mall to window shop right now. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go and browse up and down the aisles looking for things they might buy.
Well, they're being encouraged not to as well. I think, yeah. I don't know if Dwayne has said it lately, but he has certainly said previously, don't go out unless you have to.
Yeah. So people will go to Macy's, get the dress that they need, and get out. Or if they need underwear and socks, they're going to go to the store and get that and then leave. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, that store looks kind of cool. Maybe I'll go check it out. So that's going to keep traffic down as well. But, you know, if you look, we'll mention this Emerson poll a couple of times during this podcast today, but they asked Ohioans if they felt comfortable going out to things. And one here's one here. Now that businesses are starting to reopen, would you feel comfortable going to a restaurant that has spacing precautions? 51% of Ohioans said yes, 49% said no. So it's 50-50. So, you know, people are, I think, are eager to get out there as long as there are precautions. I'm not sure I'm going to a restaurant right away. I'm going to see how this plays out. Even Governor DeWine doesn't answer the question, are you going to go to a restaurant?
No, in several different formats, he is not. You know, we have been somewhat disappointed in that a reporter has not been more specific with him. You know, reporters accidentally sometimes will give a person an out by asking a question in a certain way. But DeWine has certainly not said whether or not he feels comfortable, yeah. Whether or not, you know, whether or not he's too busy or whether or not his wife, Fran, won't go on a date with him or whatever. He tries to dodge the question, but he has yet to say if he feels comfortable going out to a restaurant.
Yeah, I would think if he did feel comfortable, he would say, yes, if that restaurant took precautions, kept tables 6 feet apart, disinfected everything, I would go out to eat. He hasn't said that. He said, we'll see. Now, keep in mind, Mike DeWine is 70 years old, if not a little bit older.
He's a little older, 73, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, he's in that vulnerable population. I have parents in their 70s. I don't want them going to a restaurant.
Yeah. I'm still doing all my mom's grocery shopping. She's in her late 70s at this point, and I've encouraged her to stay at home. She really only comes to see us. I don't think she's in any hurry to get anywhere. I mean, she's hesitant to go to the supermarket. I certainly don't think she's going to Lane Bryant or where. I don't think she's going to anywhere to pick up a new blouse.
Yeah. One of the things, the whole thing is this mask wearing, which has become this sort of political dividing line, which is so silly of all the things to put a stake in the ground on. We've talked about it on this podcast. But, you know, as I go to the store now, I see more and more people wearing masks. And I mm-hmm. mainly shop in urban areas.
Yep.
You know, in urban Columbus or in suburban Columbus. It's not universal, everyone's wearing masks, but I would say 90% of the folks
really?
Are wearing masks in the grocery stores where I have been over the past week or so. You live out in a rural area.
Yeah, I live in Richwood in northern Union County, basically in the middle of a cornfield. There are two stores in my town. They're both dollar stores, the Dollar General and the Family Dollar. I was at the Dollar General this week, and I would say it was the opposite. I think I was the only person in there other than the cashier who was wearing a mask. There might have been one person I didn't see, but I did notice lots of customers not wearing masks. The political dynamics out there are, as you might expect, it's a very conservative rural farm town. But I'm not surprised. I was surprised the cashier was wearing a mask, honestly. There's a high level of distrust of the government where I live in many rural areas. Our representative, our congressperson is Jim Jordan. You can guess the political dynamics that go along with the mask wearing now. It's really falling along party lines.
Do people not understand why you wear a mask? You're not really wearing a mask. I even had this discussion in my house. Well, wear the mask to protect yourself. What most of the science says, the mask really won't protect you. But it definitely will have some effect on you protecting
others. I remember very specifically, there was a person in my hometown who shared a meme on Facebook, and it said, wearing a mask to prevent the spread of COVID is like building a chain link fence to keep out mosquitoes. Not true at all. It's not linked in science, right? Every scientist will tell you that a mask does do something. It's not perfect, but it does keep some respiratory droplets from going to another person. But their political beliefs, I would say, are influencing their scientific beliefs.
Yeah, what they're reading, what they're watching. We're all not. That's one. this is the first pandemic since we were all getting our information from a variety of sources. Mm-hmm. Some are more reputable than others. One of the things that is not opening right now, as we record this on Thursday morning, Governor DeWine has another briefing this afternoon in a few hours. But one thing that has not reopened that is crucial to this economy getting back in full swing is daycare.
Yeah.
The governor has not released daycare centers to open. Now, some daycare centers for first responders have been operating.
Well, under the pandemic license.
Yes, and the kids are separated and there's far less capacity than the normal, things like that. But a lot of people are having to go back to work or want to go back to work that can't because their kids aren't in school because schools are shut down. And if they're not school age, they can't bring them anywhere.
And this is whatever happens with daycare, it's going to be a drag on the economy until we sort this whole coronavirus thing out, until there's a vaccine and coronavirus, we can speak about it in the past tense, because this is going to be a headache for parents. I'm so lucky that my mom watches my two young sons when my wife and I go to work. Most people do not have that privilege, and I would be working from home right now because my wife, I guess our kids could go to a pandemic daycare center because my wife is a nurse, but they're very expensive. They're not cheap. They're in line with Ohio State University's daycare center, which is $1,200 a month per child. Average person can't afford that. I mean, with two children, that's $2,400 a month. That's a mortgage in a very nice neighborhood. That's another mortgage. And this is going to be such a drag on the economy for the next year.
Yeah, you look at, Governor DeWine was supposed to make the announcement on Monday. He had promised that he would make an announcement on daycare on Monday, and then he said, no, we're not ready. We don't have the safety information.
He made an announcement saying he's not ready to make an announcement.
Yeah, but it didn't come the next day, and he didn't have one Wednesday, and today's Thursday. And I don't get the feeling it's coming today. He may surprise us, but I think that there's more they want to do. And a lot of parents, a lot of working parents out there are saying, why are we opening up bars but not figuring out how to open
tattoo
up daycare?
Tattoo shops can open.
Tattoo parlors.
Can open on Friday.
Of course, the argument is, you can keep a bar patron on a bar stool 6 feet away from the other bar patron, but you can't keep a two-year-old
from
another two-year-old
wiping their boogers on the next kid next to them, right? I mean, I understand that. It's just, it's frustrating for parents who want to go back to work, but they can't because they can't find childcare. This is, it's so frustrating.
Yeah. And I don't know what when you two or three years from now, when we look back about the long-term impact on this pandemic, you look at the impact it's going to have on our healthcare system. It's cast a spotlight on a lot of problems with our healthcare system when hospitals have to go to construction sites and ask for donations of personal protection equipment. Daycare, how important it is to our economy and how expensive it is. And, I mean, those are just two things I think that we'll see come out of this.
Yeah, I would argue that crises like these tend to nudge us toward more socialistic policies, if you will. I don't know what's going to happen with childcare or healthcare. You would certainly think these would make the case for universal healthcare, or at least help make the case. I don't know if it's going to make the case for more childcare subsidies or for more smaller daycare centers, but I agree that this will inform a lot of policies going forward, whether it's daycare, hospitals, whether it's the way workplaces are designed. The death of the cubicle might not be coming so quickly as
yes.
we thought.
Open workspaces don't look so good
right
now.
No, that's exactly right. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to follow the fallout of this in several different sectors of our society.
Long hair could be here to stay. It could be back. The 70s.
The corona cuts?
Yeah, the 70s. All those haircuts could be coming back.
We'll be right back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is, if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sonali Goster from WOSU Public Media. As Mike said earlier, a new Emerson poll telling us a lot of things about the presidential race and about our own governor.
Yeah, let's start with do you approve of how your governor is handling the coronavirus pandemic? That Emerson poll has 71% approve of the way Mike DeWine is handling this pandemic.
It's a good number for any politician.
Yeah, and it just shows you the protests we see at the State House and outside Amy Acton's house, the health director's house, they are the minority. They're loud, but they're the minority. 71% of Ohioans approve of the way Mike DeWine is handling it. According to this poll, there's another poll out there. The Washington Post Ipsos poll gives Mike DeWine an 80% approval rating. That's the highest of any governor in the country, and it's higher, 9 points higher than Andrew Cuomo in New York. I mean, he's the star, among Democrats anyway, of how he's handling it, and Mike DeWine is way ahead of him in approval ratings.
Yeah, Mike DeWine has seen a lot of glowing national coverage, whether it was the New York Times video, or that was actually Amy Acton, but DeWine has...
He's been everywhere.
Right, he's been on the BBC, he's been everywhere.
He's making daily appearances on some national cable show.
Yeah, he's been on a lot of the Sunday talk shows. Yeah, he's coming out of this smelling like roses, at least for the most part, right? I mean, you can never appease the farthest reaches of your party, right? If you're Mike DeWine, if you want to get elected in Ohio, you're not going to please the far left or the far right. You're just not. But at 71%, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, compare it to Donald Trump. Among Ohioans, how do you feel Donald Trump is handling the pandemic? 48% approve of his handling of coronavirus. So Mike DeWine at 71%, Donald Trump at 48%. What that tells you is a lot of Democrats are saying they approve of the way Mike DeWine is handling this.
Yeah, and that could change even more throughout the day Thursday as the federal whistleblower, his last name Bright, his first name escapes me, he's testifying before Congress about what exactly he tried to relay when he was a whistleblower. And depending on what he says, we're recording this before he speaks, but who knows what that 48% could look like by tomorrow.
Yeah. Despite that relatively low approval rating on the pandemic, at least low compared to how governors are doing, Ohioans still want him to be president by a slightest of margin. Basically, here's the Emerson poll. 46% would vote for Donald Trump at this point. 43% would vote for Joe Biden. 11% undecided. They're basically tied because the margin of error is like 3.5 to 5%. So, but still slightly ahead for Donald Trump.
But it was a larger number. I think it was 62% that expected him to be reelected.
Yeah, that's always a pretty good indicator.
Yeah, they expect him to be real. Even, you know, even the Biden supporters, it appears that at least a portion of the Biden supporters are saying, Trump's probably still going to win.
Yeah. And the enthusiasm, this showed that 39% of Biden supporters were excited to vote for him. 70% of Trump supporters are excited to vote for him. Part of that is the magnetism of Donald Trump. Part of it is that the campaign really hasn't started yet. Joe Biden has not healed the wounds from a primary fight, which is typical in a presidential campaign.
And I'm not sure if this polling was done before or after the Tara Reid accusations against Joe Biden.
It was after, because I asked folks if they believed it, and it was basically 30-30-30.
Okay. Because I've seen a lot of optimism for Joe Biden be tamped down since then. Some Democrats basically holding their nose while they vote for Joe Biden in light of these allegations.
Yeah, that they asked that question, do you believe the allegations? And basically 30% said yes, 30% said no, and 30% unsure. So, which is, given the allegations and the questions surrounding them, it's about who you'd expect it to be.
All right, time now for our Snollygoster of the Week Award. This is goes to the week's worst, or a ruthless politician might say the craftiest move of the week. We did go away from this for a while. We went with the opposite, the Mugwump of the Week Award. But we're back in the thick of politics. Civility be damned. Back to Snollygostering.
Snollygostering is reopening in Ohio, maybe not even gradually. Anyway, if you're a longtime listener of Snollygoster, you know all about First Energy Solutions. They're the operator. They're not First Energy Company. It's a spinoff, so they changed their name once. But First Energy Solutions is the operator of those two Northern Ohio nuclear power plants, and they came to state lawmakers saying they needed taxpayer money, basically charge the ratepayers in order to keep those plants from going under.
Yeah, and state lawmakers last year signed off on that when they approved House Bill 6. Activists nearly immediately launched an attempted referendum to keep all Ohio electric customers from propping up these failing plants with a monthly fee on their electric bills. They failed to get enough signatures to put it before voters, so after a fight that went before the Supreme Court here in Ohio, and now starting next year, if you have electric service, you will be paying to keep these plants afloat.
Because you weren't paying, they would go out of business and thousands of people would go out of work. Well, it turns out the company might not have been in such dire financial straits after all. The utility is now known as Energy Harbor.
Hmm.
another name change right after a public fight.
Coincidence.
Just a coincidence. They are increasing its stock buyback from $500 million to $800 million.
Sometimes the news writes itself, Mike.
So they have enough money to pay back their shareholders, but they didn't have enough money to keep these plants open. Now, the company says they are two very separate issues.
Right. Yeah, the statement from Energy Harbor says, quote, the share repurchase is not related to the funding generated by House Bill 6, which does not begin until April 2021. I'm not an economist, but let me tell you, if you have guaranteed ratepayer subsidies, you might have a little more financial certainty, right? You might feel comfortable launching an $800 million stock buyback campaign.
Yes, because you know that future money is coming in.
Right.
And all the money's green.
So
right?
Correct. They don't come from the same pot. Of course they don't. But come on.
It's like my car payment and my grocery bill are in two different pots.
Right, but if your car payment goes down, you might be eating steak instead of top sirloin. You might be eating filet instead of top sirloin.
That's right, if you can find some meat these days.
That's right. That will do it for this week's show. If you have a recommendation for next week's Snollygoster of the Week, send it to us at snollygoster@wosu.org. Thanks, as always, to our student producer, Jack Long, and audio extraordinaire, Eric French. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. We'll